Thoughts on 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The believer's duty. This is what Peter says. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. The believer's duty. The believer is separated from the world. He's in the world, but not of it. And the world hates him. How should the believer react to the world? Well, the first thing is, let's put on the negative side, if you can say that, although it's a positive duty. Abstain from evil. This is what Peter says. Don't misunderstand as I urge you. There's love, there's affection, there's warmth, there's a kindness in this appeal, but there's an iron fist in the velvet glove. What do I mean? There's a sternness about this. There's a command here. Dear friends, I urge you. Yes, I command you, really. I invite you, I press you, I exhort you, I urge you, yes. But as aliens and strangers in the world, you keep clear of sinful desires. They're in your heart, but watch out for them. They war against your souls. Abstain from them. Don't obey them. Don't go that way. Live such good lives. Now we come into the real positive. Live such good, scriptural, biblical, God-honoring lives. This has been the whole context from the first chapter. Be holy because I am holy, says God. God has elected us that we might be holy. Not only justified from our sins and made righteous in God's sight, but not only that, but to live a godly life, progressive sanctification. Of course the world misunderstands us. Of course the world will hate us. They may see your good deeds and so on. Of course they'll hate and accuse you and misaccuse you and falsely accuse you. Nevertheless, though they accuse you of doing wrong, and how they accuse the early believers, persecution. Read about it in the early chapters of the history of the church and see how the believers suffered under the Romans, under the Jews and others. They paid heavily for their separation from the world. How they suffered in those days. In the medieval times, believers suffered by the church. But in these days, it was those outside the church. But they will notice these pagans. They will notice today. They will see. They will observe. They will take notice. They will watch. They pick up what's going on. And they'll see. And they will confess. And they will see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Now, this visitation day is produced a whole raft of explanations. The visitation of God, there's a whole set of ideas about it. Is it judgment? Is it the second coming? Is it the blessing of God? Is it when he visits them and so on? There's a whole range of abuse, and I really can't come down, I think, on my explanation, and therefore I offer nothing definite. But God sees, and he knows, and he comes, and the day will be when the pagans will glorify God. In the final day, of course, we know Philippians chapter 2, quoting Isaiah, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, brother and sister, whatever we don't understand about this passage, whatever I don't understand anyway, I understand this. I'm living in a fallen, pagan, hostile world. I must not go the way of the world, even though the evangelicals do today, so many of them. I must not go down that track. I must abstain from that evil. And I must live such a godly life that whatever they accuse me of, they'll have to confess and glorify God on the day of visitation. I hope, brother and sister, there's a word of encouragement, a word of warning, challenge, instruction from this passage. May God help us to come up to it by his Spirit. Amen.